Okay, our agenda is here. Today on the agenda, we have a pretty short agenda. Implementation report submissions, we seem to be good to go on that, but we need to talk about some minor details on that. Second last call for JSON-LD API and JSON-LD syntax to candidate rec proposal that I sent out last night. And then anything else? Do we have anything else that we want to add to the agenda? We might want to discuss the Google Summer of Code students really quickly. Anything else from anyone else? Dave Longley, could you scribe today?
Sure.
Oh, a quick question. I think that I caught up on the base discussion properly, but was there anything controversial left there? The base at risk and
yeah, good question. I feel like there was one thing that was still hanging out there, but maybe we resolved it. Marcus?
The question, I think, was whether we allow relative URLs in there or not, or what the empty string means.
All right.
So currently the spec says it must be an absolute IRI, but some people wanted to also support the empty string to kind of reset the base so that there is no base at all, so that relative IRIs stay relative IRIs, or other people wanted to have support for relative URLs in at base as well.
Okay.
And Greg, you had said, okay, so let's go ahead and put this on the agenda because I don't know if we really have a firm decision on that.
What I had said was that that I think every other RDF syntax allows relative URIs to be used for base as long as the result resolves to an absolute IRI. That's not too commonly used, but you see it in test cases. That's probably about it. I mean, even RDFA does. If you use the XML base, it can be relative. Turtle N3 allow it, I believe.
Yeah.
Of course, RDF XML inherits XML base.
Although I thought that in RDFA it didn't have to resolve to an absolute IRI. I thought it could just stay relative. I thought we just output it as is.
We probably do, but to be valid RDF, it needs to be an absolute IRI.
Yeah.
And if it's not output, then it's assumed to be relative to the document. So
yeah.
So it does ultimately turn into an absolute IRI. And I for the record, I wasn't arguing that we should do that. I can just see that it makes sense that there is a consistent universe in which we allow for that. I think the issues come in mostly when you could use something that's not an absolute IRI as a parameter, as an argument.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, so let's discuss this right now since we're already talking about it. The link to the issue is here. So there are two things that we need to resolve. One of them is whether or not the empty string resets base or sets it to a relative IRI that is blank. And then the other thing is whether or not we support relative IRIs in base. So are there any objections to supporting relative IRIs in base in general?
I find it complex, especially if you're thinking about external contexts. It gets really messy then.
It does. I agree that that's a concern, but should that prevent the feature from existing in JSON-LD?
Well, I mean, the spec is a bit fussy about base anyway, so we are not really, not really explicit about how it's handled. We always just say we expand against the document base, for example, but we never specify how that base is established. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit, if you are in an external context, which then maybe imports another external context, what base do you end up using then in your main document? The one that was in the nested remote context, or in the remote context?
I thought we had had a discussion where we said that base only applies to the current document.
We discussed it, but we didn't decide to do that.
Okay, I thought that that's kind of where the consensus was, or at least that makes sense to me.
I think if base ends up being resolved relative to an external context document, that creates all sorts of problems.
Mm-hmm. So base only applies to the current document. I think that's a fairly simple rule that web developers could understand. And I think it, even if someone accidentally uses base in a remote context, it doesn't have any really nasty side effects.
We could consider making it complicates processing slightly, but we could consider making using base in an external context illegal.
Yeah. But we wouldn't need to make it illegal if it just applies to the current document, though, right?
Well, the question is, if I say base, dot, dot, in an external context, does that act as if it's base, dot, dot, in the referencing document, and therefore set base to whatever the parent of the referencing document is?
No, it doesn't, because base only applies to the current. So that base would only apply to the remote context when the remote context is being processed.
But that's really weird, in my opinion. I mean, it's like if you define a term and you use that base, and then that base is different from anywhere else. I mean, currently you can just extract your object, your context object, and put it in a different document, and nothing would change.
Mm-hmm.
If we are starting to introduce such rules, it becomes much more complicated to explain that to someone.
Right. So the downside. Well, it's so there's a trade-off if we do that, right? So yes, right now you can just take context, external context, and just dump it in your document. The trade-off is that, you know, if we allow relative IRIs in base and base to exist in external contexts, then all of a sudden, you know, we have this weird thing where your base is not necessarily the base that's specified in your, or the base that's in your document.
So the question I ask myself is, what's really the use case for a relative base? I mean, I see definitely the use case of an absolute base, but a relative one, why don't you use a relative URL then in your data? Or?
Well, packaging is one of them. So we've got these web widgets, web widget descriptions. We've had two people now say talk about, you know, these zip file packages or web widget packages, and they want to be able to reference things inside the package, but the manifest file, which is JSON-LD, exists in a lower-level directory than the other files in the manifest. So what they're trying to do is refer to things relative, and in web widgets, there is just relative references. There is no absolute, you know, URL for the widget. So that's one of the use cases, is what happens when you package these things up and you need to refer to things inside of the package, and the package doesn't have a absolute IRI. How do you reference things like that easily? One approach is, well, you just use relative IRIs everywhere,
yeah.
Or the other one is you just set base and then, you know, use relative IRIs, cleaner relative IRIs elsewhere. I agree with you that it's not a very compelling use case, but I think that's the major use case. That and test, you know, the test suite stuff, as Greg said.
What's the test suite stuff? That's, I mean, we're using an absolute IRR in there, probably, aren't we?
Trying to think if we use base in the test suite. I think we discussed using base in the test suite so that we could establish, so that we could keep it, we could keep using it at jsonld.org, but have things reported against a TR space location. I mean, we do need to freeze the test suite at some point and move it into a location that people report against.
Yeah, but that would definitely be an absolute IRI then.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Paul. One of the things that we've actually been doing, we use a lot of external, actually all of our contexts are external, and we're also using them to build up UI and to describe our UI widgets as well. And we really haven't had a problem with having absolute IRIs. I kind of see some of the reasoning, but just to be able to support like UI widgets and such and all that doesn't seem very compelling. To support other things and to make it more similar to like RDFA and some of the other serialization formats, to me that seems a little bit more of a compelling argument. But the use case of to be able to support the like web widget type stuff, I'm dubious.
Mm. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think firstly it's very good if we're having the same behavior as the resolution mechanism in RDFA, and to some extent Turtle, although we're more in syntactic form closer to RDFA. In Turtle you have the angle bracket space or the colon based space, which sort of correspond to the RDFA distinction between the vocabulary space and the data space or document space, which is to some extent what we have in JSON-LD as well, although I think we fall back to the document space in certain places. You know, the distinction between using resolving terms against vocab but other URI references against base, which is something we need to be coherent with, and I think that we're aligned with RDFA on this. In general, these two distinctions are important because the vocabulary space, I've never had any need for relative IRI resolution there. In practice, there are certain cases where you really need to invent a local term, but even then you should be clear about where the vocabulary for that local term should be published, so it's reasonable to demand you to use a full IRI there. Whereas when you have lots of data, say for instance in JSON files, statically generated, but you don't yet know for sure which the domain name will be for the publication of these, having at least relative IRIs beginning with / is very useful, i.e. absolute but not full IRIs is very useful to be able to relocate your entire data set.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's try this. There are two proposals. One of them will be do not support relative IRIs in base, and the other one will be support relative IRIs in base, and let's see where the group is leaning more towards. Not support. I think it's the latter, but let's just do both of them. Do not support relative IRIs in base. Next one. Okay. Marcus and I canceling each other's phone out.
Another problem I see with supporting relative IRIs is then it would be very confusing that we don't support it in advoca, for example, or that we don't even support it in term definitions.
I disagree. I mean, not more confusing than that is what is already the case in RDFA.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very, very similar to RDFA.
All right. So
for the reasons I discussed just now regarding the conceptual vocabulary space, which is rarely, if ever, useful to have relocatable. It should be very precise.
But that's a different story. I mean, like just from looking at the keywords, they are more or less just doing the same, just for different things. So it would be strange to support relative URLs in one but not in the other.
I don't know if it would be strange to support it in one and not the other.
These are very different purposes. I can, given that we don't have the same detailed control as you have in Turtle with angle brackets versus colon space and prefixes. We have to do something else, and in RDFA the definition is that in certain cases you have no relativity at all, and that's the, I don't think it's called the vocabulary space anywhere, but I mean, to me it's intuitive to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have to make a decision on this. One way or the other. It looks like there's slightly, very slightly more support for supporting them than not. So unless there are objections, I'm going to resolve it as that, and then we're going to have to deal with the whether or not you can have a blank relative IRI. But before I do that, any objections for resolving to support relative IRIs in base?
Yeah, I objected already.
Right. What I mean, like, we are making a catastrophic error by doing this objection.
So, just one more time. If we are going to support that, are we going to support that in external context as well?
We have to decide that next.
And like, for example, the widget case, which was discussed in a mailing list, that was completely different from the thing that we are discussing here now. So he used a relative term, which was then resolved at runtime. So he had that bundle prefix, which was a relative URL, and that wouldn't work with that base here either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that was, well, actually, that wasn't the use case I was referring to. I was referring to some use cases that came up about a year ago with people working with web widgets. And Paul, just to be clear, the web widget stuff I was talking about didn't have to do with UI stuff. It had to do with the web widget spec.
Okay.
But I mean, I think the point that you made is valid. It was just a different thing.
My main concern about the change here is I'm more in favor of consistency, and like I said, the compelling argument for me was the consistency of having more consistency with like Jason between Jason LD and like RDFA or
mm-hmm.
Turtle and the like. So
yeah, I agree. I think that is the most compelling argument that we have on the table now, at least as from my point of view, that seems to be the most compelling argument.
My hesitation is, again, okay, just we're trying to not add a whole lot of additional complexity, I wouldn't think, right at the very end where you have less time to vet it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, I mean, base is one of those things that people don't use very often. I think in the vast majority of HTML documents that you see out there, in the vast majority of RDFA documents that you see out there, base isn't used. So if people decide to use base, they're definitely going to be in the minority. And because of that, maybe having to understand how base impacts a bunch of other things is an acceptable hurdle to put in front of people that want to use base, because really there are very few use cases where you actually need it, and we might want to elaborate on that in the spec, make it clear.
Yeah, we don't have that much time left to do so.
Right, we have one more iteration, and that's it. But that stuff's informative. At least warning them is informative. The other stuff is going to be normative. Okay. All right. So resolve support relative IRIs in base.
One issue is in the syntax document. In the context definitions, we do say it must be an absolute IRI or null. What does this mean about the stability of syntax document?
Did we have an issue marker on it?
No.
We have an issue marker
on base in the base section, but not in the normative. Is B norm? I think B is normative, isn't it?
Thought it was.
Yeah. Actually, it doesn't say that it is. I believe it is. It's intended to be.
Right.
It does say there that it must be an absolute IRI.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, if we have an issue marker, we're okay.
I'm sorry. No, there is an issue marker there. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, that's resolved. Now we need to figure out whether or not base is included from external contexts. So we might just want to do the simple thing and say that it is. And then, you know, if you have a context and that includes an external context, if you have an external context that includes an external context, and you have a whole chain of them, you know, the first base is set in the parent document, and then the next base overrides that one, and then the next base overrides that one. So each time you define a new one in one of the dependencies on the context, the base changes in the dependency, if that makes sense. And that's the complicated case that we were trying to avoid by saying base is base only applies to the current document. But as several people mentioned, that could potentially make it even more complicated. So we might just want to do the simple thing and just say, if you have an external context that sets base, then base is set using that external context. And people that generate external context are going to have to really be aware that they should not use base in those external contexts unless they intend all of the other JSON-LD documents that use that external context to then use that base as well.
Yeah, I think that was what we said quite a long time ago when we discussed if base should be intransitive instead. So the rule is that if your context is intended for use,
okay. So when base is specified in an external context, that base is applied to the document, including the external context. Is that clear enough? So plus one, minus one, that. And then once we get that done, we just need to discuss the booking setting base to the empty string.
What does that mean for the external document? For the remote context, sorry. So if I have already a base, set base, which is then expanded to an absolute kernel internally, and then I have a relative at base in a remote context, does that use the previous at base or the remote context URL?
Say the question again, Marcus. I got lost.
So let's say we have two external remote contexts. The first one establishes a base URL. It doesn't matter. It can be an absolute one, for example. And then the second remote context uses a relative base.
Yeah.
Is the second base resolved against the previous absolute base or against the remote context?
I would imagine that the value is just overridden.
It's overwritten, but how do you expand the URL?
You don't.
What do you mean you don't?
I mean that the value of at base, it changes from the absolute URL to the relative URL, right?
No. No, you always expand it to an absolute URL. Otherwise, you can't expand anything else using it.
Then I would imagine that it expands. That's a good question. I would like to keep it simple and just make it expand against the current. Yeah, I guess it has to then expand against the base that was set previously, right? Because making it apply to the current document is weird. Making base, so if your previous base is to example.org and you then in the second context set it to ..slash, having ..slash apply to the document where the document actually is versus the base that's already been set, I think would be strange.
I actually think it's less strange. I mean, you can include the same remote context in multiple documents, but the term definitions in there should still expand to the same URL, I think. So, in my opinion, that relative base should be expanded against the context URL and not the previous established base.
Any other input from the rest of the group on this? Anyone have strong feelings one way or the other?
I think if base does not always relate to the current concept of the document location, then that's what really gets confusing. So if a relative URI is relative to the, if there has been no base declaration, would be relative to the document base. If there has been a base declaration, then it's relative to the in-context document location. So based upon the effect of applying the previous base. So I think if we stick with that, then we get the kind of behavior people expect. It does mean that, yes, you could compose something that uses context, that composes different remote contexts in another remote context, and weird stuff could happen, but I think that, you know, maybe we should just resolve that by cautioning people from using base in a remote context as possibly leading to unexpected results.
So the reason why I think, or the example which might make it clear why I wanted to expand against the document, so the context URL, is because if you have a document and you set a base in that document, that shouldn't change the remote context you are going to include. even if that one uses a relative base, for example. Otherwise, you would break that remote context without, well, without probably noticing.
So, I'm sorry, so you're suggesting that when you load the remote context...
You're using that remote context URL to expand every base statement in there.
Well, what if I have a remote context which is referenced using a relative IRI? And I previously have a base declaration. When I see that new relative context, do I resolve it using the base declaration that was in scope, or do I resolve it using the document's actual base, actual location? I don't think that any other variation would do that. Because base is sort of entirely a semantic concept in terms used for resolving properties and so forth, and not actually used, does not actually affect the way that you retrieve documents.
Hang on.
Right.
The other thing that I'm kind of concerned about here is that it seems to me that, I mean, if you're looking at just base as it's used in HTML, and you, well, if you include like a CSS file or some other, I'm trying to think if there's a way to include other HTML files.
Well,
I guess what I'm trying to say is in all of these cases, the base only applies to the document. Actually, in CSS, you can do that, right? And I think that the base only applies to the document itself. So when you import one CSS file into another CSS file, all of the path resolutions happen based on the base for that file. We don't have this weird chaining thing that happens like it does in the JSON-LD context. Just food for thought. I'm not arguing anything one way or the other. It's just it's a little strange the way we're doing this, I think.
Good point about time boxing.
Okay.
So the problem here is that we need to resolve this if we're going to get another last call document out next week. If we don't resolve it, then we can't go to LC2 if we don't resolve this.
Well, does this become simpler if base is only allowed within locally within a document and not within a remote context?
But every document can be used as a remote context.
In which case it would be ignored.
So I just typed an example in IRC. So you have a document which has at base and then loads a remote context, and that remote context then again has a at base which uses a relative URL. So what's the base then in that remote context in the absolute URL, and what's the base in the final document then?
I think Greg's right. We shouldn't even be discussing this problem. If we wouldn't be discussing this problem if we just said base just applies to the current document, full stop.
Yeah, but what does that mean? I mean, that's the question I'm asking in that example.
In that example, the dot slash is resolved against whatever document. So let's see. You've got the first relative IRI is going to resolve to example.com/dir/remote context.
Yes.
So that's what, and then the remote context.jsonld file is going to the dot slash is going to be where whatever the path name is to the remote context.jsonld file.
And what's then the final base which is used in the outer documents, the one that
it's
includes
the
remote context?
It's the one, it's whatever the author document sets base to.
The closest.
It's either the value of base that's set in the author document, and if there is none, then it's the the base that's derived from the file location.
Or passed in by an option.
Yep. I think that's
okay,
really
so,
nice and
so,
clean.
So base is always established locally, so local
yes.
to the document, and it's never, like remote contexts, never change the base of the document.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that when we start establishing or evaluating a remote context, we pass a flag that says essentially ignore base, and that causes any base declarations to be skipped.
Yep.
If there is a base in the local document.
I think we always, when we process a remote context, we ignore base.
Do you ignore the base in the remote context?
Yes. It's as if the base declaration does not exist when you're processing a remote context.
Making base intransitive.
Yeah.
For a fairly specific definition of intransitive.
Yeah. Well, non-inherited or
right.
non. Doesn't that change the current? I mean.
The resolution we just made, it changes.
So what would be the disadvantage of keeping the spec as it is? That means that we change the base of the active context.
The advice we just wrote down would not be necessary if this was the rule. The drawback is that you can never define base in an external context.
Yeah, and is that something that we want to prevent?
I'm not sure.
Here's a question. How does RDFA Turtle have anything equivalent to this, and what were some of the decisions that they made?
I cannot think of any web-based technology, really, which would inherit base. If you had XML base in an XML document, and then you include another XML document using xinclude, anything in that document would never, I mean, a base in that document would never apply, although that's a different case.
There is really no technology which changes, like, namespaces of a document, like we do with external context. So, I mean, we expand properties also to URLs by using an external document.
To some extent, using external DTDs can add attributes to XML elements which add XML declarations. I do not know for sure whether having XML base defined in that external DTD would add XML base to the local document. I think it would. That's the closest analogy I can think of right now.
Okay, so the proposal that down then is when base is specified in an external context, that base is not applied to the local document.
I think it's the other way around. So the spec would still stay the same. The only thing is that we would say that add base is always resolved against the current document's URL.
is always resolved against the current document URL. This overturns the previous resolution we made as well. And that any relative URL is resolved against the current document's URL. It's resolved against any if base is a relative URL, that relative URL is resolved against the current document's URL.
And I agree, Dave. It would be very hard to scribe and really follow it.
Yeah. It's probably hard enough to follow when you're not scribing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think this is good, though. I think because this is fairly simple, and I think it follows what other web technologies do. Okay. We have one last thing to resolve on this, which is whether or not, what does the blank string do? So if someone does add base and then the blank string, does it clear base, or is that an alias to a relative IRI that resolves to the current document's URL? It's like saying current document URL. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
It should work. It should use the current document URL. I think I'm not sure what clearing would mean, though.
Base null. If you did add base colon null, that would be the same. I guess it's effectively the same thing.
Given that we don't inherit external context. Previously, if you had an external context but locally used base empty string, I would expect no change. No, that's not true. Actually, I think that would always mean the same.
Dave Longley, you're on the queue.
So I believe this had to do with a use case where people wanted to preserve relative IRIs in their documents for contexts that specified at base being a blank string. Of course, there's the further problem that you could no longer define at base in a remote context, so that use case might not work for some of the time. But null and the empty string, or null and some other value, have two different meanings. Null would mean not set the base to nothing, but rather revert back to the previous options base or something like that. I can't remember what we were going to decide to do here, but from what I remember, there was a case that was not supported that we were looking at supporting using the blank string as a special case so that you could preserve relative IRIs.
You mean we would always output a relative IRI? You would never output, it wouldn't resolve
It would resolve to nothing. Effectively, it would, all of the IRIs in the document would be left alone is what would happen, because it would be saying that there's no base. It would be a way of saying that there's no base associated with this document, and so you could specify that in the context, rather than having to rely on people to set it in their options for their processor.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be simpler then if we change the default value of the processor so that it's not automatically set to the current document? At least not if you load an external document, but if you just put in some JSON directly, then we could just say there is no base set by default.
That might be a good idea, because this is all sort of tied to the notion of sort of transitive messages, which don't actually have any document base, and you would just be getting a JSON object in. You wouldn't have a URL that's tied to it. So it sort of matches the use case.
Yeah. So we would need to change the default value of JSON-LD options base to null, basically.
Yes, if you just pass in JSON, it would be null. But if you pass in a URL, then it is that URL.
Yeah, right.
I think and that would be a good change. Okay.
And if you use base null in the JSON data, would that remove any passing base?
Yeah, the question is,
that should then fall back to that either JSON-LD options base or the URL that was used to load the JSON document. So that you basically remove all the local at base that you've used and you fall back to what the initial state was. Kind of.
Yeah, I think it might be okay to say null just means fall back to whatever the was passed into the options, whatever the initial at base was.
So you can never prevent that option from being used.
What do you mean by preventing it?
Yeah, what do you mean?
You gave a case for loading JSON data directly, and in that case, the options, the default option is that there is no base. What if there are relative IRIs in that data? Should they be kept?
They're kept.
You can't expand them, so they're left untouched, basically.
Yeah, but if
the result is not it does not conform to the data model, but it can be useful anyway.
Yeah, but the point then is if you want to use that for some reason, but you don't know if your JSON document will be loaded from somewhere known or passed in as pure data, should it be possible to use at base set to null in the document data to have the same effect?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You want to be able to null out the base. You want null to actually null out the base.
Well, I can't think of any case where I would want to, but given that we have described a case where that might be useful, the same reasoning should apply to the decision on what null means for base in the document, I think.
Well, typically, I mean, if you read that RFC, which describes how you expand the relative IRI, there are those, I don't know, three or four levels, and the last thing that the expansion falls back to is that application-defined base, and that would be the JSON-LD options. So that's the last thing you can fall back. So I don't think then we need to do anything else to have the same behavior in the document itself.
Well, it seems like we have two problems, two possible use cases. One, I guess, is what Nicholas is talking about, where you want to enforce leaving URLs alone, but then you have the other use case where you want to set base to null to just revert back to whatever anyone was using previously. Those are two different cases, and we don't have two different values to specify which one you mean. Go ahead.
For me, using empty string would mean revert, and using null would mean prevent,
okay.
In my mind.
If people can agree to that, that would be fine with me. I do think that we should support both of those cases, which is why I was suggesting that empty string take on a meaning like that. But maybe they were just reversed, and we should do it this way.
I have difficult time.
When you say revert,
follow now.
Mm-hmm. Well, previously, in the issue tracker, we were going to suggest that empty string meant no base, and the null and at base null means revert back to whatever the application had specified as base. Nicholas is suggesting that we do the opposite, that at base null means there is no base, and the empty string means revert back to whatever was said in the application.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just seems very non-intuitive to me. And again, if any other RDF serialization, if I said at base the empty string, it would be interpreted as a relative IRI.
Yeah, and everywhere else as well, HTML everywhere basically.
Yeah,
but that would mean use whatever is given.
Yeah, but we resolved just before that relative URLs are resolved against the document's URL, or if there is no document URL, you fall back to that application stuff.
Well, or they're resolved against the previous base declaration, which is relative to the document URL, right?
Is setting base to an empty string if it doesn't take on a special meaning?
You could imagine some algorithmic generation
where it
gets output.
But I don't know if there is confusion here, because that's what I mean with if base is set to the empty string, use whatever is given elsewhere, whatever that means.
Are you saying use whatever is given elsewhere? Do you mean use just what the previous base was during processing, or do you mean revert back to the application option?
What can be used previously? I mean, it's the document URL, or which is...
So I have a document, and at one level it says base is example. And then down a level within there, I say base is the empty string. What is base? Is it in my view? It's example, because
yes,
that is the in scope base, and that is the consistent with the other interpretations of base being an empty string.
Yeah,
just a relative IRI.
That's my meaning as
right.
well. Use whatever is currently
that's
given.
Fine.
Whereas null would mean ignore anything given there is no base.
So null could have two possible interpretations. One would be to reset it to whatever the actual document location is. And the other would be to go into a mode where it is now legal for us to not have absolute IRIs and then only generate relative IRIs.
Oh, I see. You're talking about within a document at different
yes.
nodes. I've never seen any use for different contexts there, so I haven't really had that in mind at all.
So I think that's where the hard problems about base get it to be is when you already have a base declaration, what does it mean when you get another one?
Okay, so Marcus has just put in some text in the IRC channel. We could use it as an example. I think we really need to. I'm completely lost. We really need to either type out the algorithm or specify like type in the IRC what we mean by revert to the previous value, because it seems like some people are using that to mean.
We need to differentiate previous value from original value, where original value is given to like the API. It's an options value.
Yeah, we have two things that can fallen back to. One of them is the document base. The other one is the options base. Is that right?
The document base. Is the options. So you mean the one specified within the document, it's the document's base, right?
No, I think there's the actual location of the document, and then there is the option that might have been provided to the processor to use instead of the actual document location. I think...
That means that there's actually three things we're talking about.
Right.
JSON-L, the options base, which... doesn't override the document's URL if you use a URL for loading the document.
Correct.
The option does not override the document location?
No.
Ooh.
Just if you pass in a JSON.
That's also inconsistent. It's often used that way because I might have a document which is intended to live at some location, but for whatever reason, it's not right now. But I still want to be able to process it as if it were. And
my
with all of my processors, if I pass in an option, that is used in preference of the actual document location.
I agree with Greg. That's what I do. Yes. That's what I thought I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that's what we agreed to as well.
We also have a gap in our test suite because we don't have a way to test for that right now.
Yeah. Okay. So
the path base overrides the URL that's passed in.
Yeah, overrides the document location.
Yep.
That's weird.
Well, it's consistent with everything else.
It's how the APIs I have ever used behave.
Well, I mean, you could achieve the same by just downloading this thing and passing it in as JSON, but... Oh, yeah, but you're right, it's specified that way, yeah.
Have I captured everything in IRC? You guys can help with that.
Yeah. That's my understanding of how base can be set.
So I would say that
so much
two is...
if we just have absolute error.
I would say that two defaults to one. So if there is no API base set, then it is initialized from the actual document location, which of course might still make it null.
I agree.
If you set base to null, it goes back to the API base option.
Yes, that is one thing that we're looking at, which would cover the case where people want to enforce relative URLs, where they want to make sure all the URLs stay the same. So you would just set your base option to null, and you would treat options as transitive pieces of information. That would cover that use case.
But who wants to do that? The publisher of the data or the consumer?
Well, the publisher does it in this case. The consumer can set the API base. The publisher can say, use the API base or document location.
Yeah, but why should the publisher tell me what to do with the data? I mean, typically those are two different parties, and the other one shouldn't tell me what to do with that data, though.
Well, the publisher is telling you how the data is meant to be interpreted. It works the same way as if the publisher put a certain context URL in their document. They're indicating how you're supposed to understand that document.
We could just also consider not supporting
us. You can't understand it because you can't expand it to an absolute URI.
We could just consider not supporting base null. You know, it's not really necessary. If you want to do that as a document publisher, you can just be sure that base is set at some level, you know, that's more constrained than the place where you want to deal with the outside context. That's what I would do. If I had some portion of a document where I wanted to use a base, then I would have that at a lower level and leave the top level for the actual document location.
I think I'm completely lost.
So another proposal is let's not support base null.
Well, then we don't support the use case that Dave Longley needs, right?
Well, we might be able to get away with it by always specifying base null. But if any document comes along that uses a different base, it could cause some problems. I don't see how specifying at base null is different from specifying any other base. The publisher is still telling you what base to use. I mean, even if you had set one in your options, that if they specify at base, and it's still going to override what you're doing. Why is it different?
Because I can't expand it then I can't expand it at all then to an absolute IRI.
That's right.
The publisher's telling you that's the interpretation of that data.
Well, if I expand it twice, then I can do it suddenly.
Well, I mean, that's because you are deciding that you don't care what the publisher means. You want to apply your own meaning to it.
Yeah, but I really don't understand why the publisher is doing that. I mean, that just prevents someone who expands it once so that those URLs don't expand. But if someone expands it twice, for example, because it, he expands it first and then decides to compact it again, which expands it again, then it would change the URL. So it's not that they are always relatives, they are just once they are kept relatives.
I guess the question is, why are you trying to process the data like that when that's clearly not how the publisher intended the data to be interpreted?
Well, I don't know how the publisher intended it because I never talked to the publisher.
Well, the publisher intended it to not resolve to an absolute IRI, right? And I don't think that we can go to the lengths of saying, well, we can never, you know, we should be able to just ingest this data without, you know, especially this particular type of data. So this is a very, let's be clear that this is a very particular type of transient data, right? So the idea that you're going to actually store this data and try to apply an absolute IRI to it is, I think, completely outside of the scope of what the publisher intended this data to be used for. So
one thing the publisher could intend this data to be used for is some kind of bundled package thing that doesn't have an absolute IRI, and he would like to be able to have other people assert that when they download this data from them that it has not changed. And they can do that by providing a digital signature on this data where all of the IRIs are relative. And so two different people obtaining this data can prove that it is from the same publisher and that the data is the same, provided they don't expand any of those URLs. Otherwise, they can't do that.
But, I mean, I don't understand what that should mean. So there are relative URLs, but they mean nothing without a base. It's like a string. So why don't you use string?
Maybe then? when a consumer actually gets that data, say for instance, I want to sell a bundle of data to people. The bundle is always going to look the same to two different customers, and those two different customers need to be able to, at least one of those customers needs to be able to assert that the data that they fetched from a URL that they looked at that they want to purchase is the same data that their payment processor fetched from that URL that. So that they can confirm that it's the same thing. But when they go and they actually try to consume that data and use it, they'll apply their own base. But previously to that, all they want to do is to be able to assert that the data is the same. And so it actually sort of covers this use case where you're asking, why would you only want to expand once? Or you know, why would you want to use the data in one way and just one time and then use it differently in another case? And that's sort of exactly the use case.
Well, you could just sign the JSON as it is. You don't have to expand it to sign it. I know that you are doing that, but you don't have to do that. You can sign it.
Yeah, well, you don't have to use JSON all day either. But if you wanted to keep the process very, very simple, where you just take JSON-LD in, run it through the same algorithm that you run it through regardless of whatever the JSON-LD is, and you sign that data so that the algorithm's always the same and it's always consistent, if you use this feature, it would work just the same. What you're saying is if you wanted to use relative IRIs, you can't use the same algorithm. You have to do something different.
Well, I'm not convinced about that use case, to be honest. I mean, you're signing something in a very specific way, and you're selling that as a use case where you can do the same with other mechanisms. You can just sign it as it is, for example, as JSON, which would do exactly the same.
Yeah, but that requires you to come up with a completely different digital signature mechanism. So now your system, instead of just having one digital signature mechanism built on top of JSON-LD, you have to have Java, you know, the JSON Web Token stuff as well as the JSON-LD signature stuff, which doubles the complexity for your digital signing solution for the system.
And every interoperable client now has to support both.
Right. I mean, it's an explosion of complexity at that point.
It also doesn't cover the case if there
signing,
are multiple serializations.
Signing a document is much simpler than doing the normalization that you're talking about and then signing that.
because we're not talking about signing a document. We're talking about signing a graph.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about. You could represent the same graph with relative IRIs using a different serialization and produce the same signature. So there could be multiple ways for clients to obtain the data from the URL where all the data was still all relative IRIs. And they obtain the data using a different serialization format, but they get the same signature. So that they can still confirm that the graph that they're dealing with is the same thing.
Yeah, same in a sense, yeah, because you don't know a base, so it could be the same, could be different, depending
on
the base. Yeah,
yeah, but for this use case, you know that there is no base. You know that you're that you have the same bundle, same relative bundle of information.
Okay, so where are we on this issue? Because we're 10, 11 minutes over time at this point.
We're back at the beginning, I think.
Well, I don't know. I think we've made quite a bit of progress. I don't think we're back at the beginning. I think we have identified that there are three things that we're talking about. The original document location, three things that set base. The first one is the original document location. The second thing is the API base option. And the third thing is at base can set base. So the only thing that we're discussing at this point is whether or not when base is set to null, whether it uses the API, whether it falls back to the API base option, or if it does something completely different.
Well, I think we need to talk about whether or not we have a use case for having at base being set to null, where that means fall back to the original document. Do we have a use case for that? Because I do think we have a use case where it means no base. Do we have the other use case?
I'm still not really sure.
Double quote. Sorry, hold on. So at base colon double quote would fall back to one. Is that correct?
I wasn't even discussing that case right now.
There are two approaches, right? There are two things. There are two fallbacks that we're talking about. We're talking about what happens when it's the double quote and what happens when it's null. And I thought we said if it's double quote, it falls back to the original document location, so it would fall back to one.
No.
And if you said at base null, you would fall back to two. No.
No. What we had discussed for empty string so far was just empty string essentially means nothing. It means use whatever the current base is.
If it's null.
And if it's null, it that's what the question is. Does that mean no base, or does it mean fall back to the original document?
Fall back to the original document URL.
Well, we were just discussing letting null mean no base.
Are we actually on the same page what relative URLs mean and how at base is given back to the outer document? So, for example, Nicholas just put an example in IRC. What's the result of that one, for example?
Right. That is a question for whether or not the empty string means fall back to the original document URL or just use the previous one. And I thought Marcus and Greg had agreed that they thought that it should mean, in that example, slash dir, not slash doc.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you said base null, then my interpretation would be that it would go back to slash doc.
That is one way of looking at it. And the other way of looking at it could be if you set it to null, it means there is no base. And then we have to decide what to do with empty string. if we decided that empty string meant go back to doc, we would support everything, but we would have the potential weirdness of an algorithm producing an empty string for base in a context, and that producing perhaps unexpected behavior.
At this point, I'd say we just need to find the simplest resolution, which is consistent with what we've done so far. We're 15 minutes over.
I don't think we're going to find that on the call today.
Well, then I don't think we're going to be able to do a LC.
Right. So I think we're probably going to have to do what?
I think we have to thought to find that solution today, don't we?
Well, what I was going to suggest is we put it back to the issue tracker and get a solution in before the end of the week and discuss it, because, I mean, I still think that there's a variety of confusion around all the possible approaches to resolve this issue. At least I know I'm not entirely clear what Marcus is talking about, or what Dave is talking about, or what Greg is talking about. I'm not convinced that everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, I agree with that, but the problem is we sat exactly the same. I think it was 1 or 2 months ago, and till now we are like at exactly the same point. So I don't believe that anything will change till next week, for example. I'm going to travel from Saturday onwards, so I will be away. And
okay,
I think
we can stay on the call until we resolve it then, if people have the time to do that.
I think it would be better. Otherwise, we just keep it as is and do that later on. I don't know.
Okay, I've got time today. And Marcus, you have time. Dave Longley, I think, has time.
Yeah, I have time.
I can hang
Nicholas?
Out. Sure.
Okay.
For some time.
For some value of time.
Yeah. I need to leave in like 10 minutes, I think.
Okay.
So here's a question. It seems like there's several different alternatives and alternate points of view. Would it be possible for like each kind of party or whatever to do kind of like what we've been doing here in IRC, just write up a very simple example, and then we just dissect each one and essentially do a pro-con and or like delta from what we currently do? Would that be a way of focusing the discussion, so we just take each one at a time?
Yeah, so the first question I have is, how many of those do we have? Do Greg and Dave Longley agree on what should happen, or does Nicholas have a different suggestion? Or I think Marcus's suggestion is different. So do we have two or more proposals currently?
I think we have more than two.
Yeah, that was what I was afraid of.
So let me summarize my understanding. Base is ignored if it's in a remote context. In a local context, the base may be relative, in which case it is relative to the current in-scope location, which is established either at the document location or in the option which is passed in. The empty string is treated as a relative IRI. And I think the only issue of that's open is what if it's null? And I think if it was null, a reasonable interpretation is that it goes back to the document base or API.
So to clarify, it's still up in the air what empty string means.
Empty string is a relative IRI. I mean, that was my interpretation.
Right. One possibility is to simply look at it like that, like it has no special value. However, there's still something on the table for having it have a special value, depending on what we decide for at base null.
Maybe we can set aside for the time being a possible special interpretation for that.
We need to decide what at base null means first, and then we can talk about empty string.
I think at base null means just fallback. Fall back to that the 1, 2, 3 stuff that you put into the IRC, Dave Longley, at 1101. At base null means go to at base null would mean that it was specified via 3, and it would mean fall back to 2, and if 2 is not defined, fall back to 1. Is that right?
Yes, that is one possibility, and that would be the most consistent thing with what we've done with null in other places. The
right.
drawback is that it completely eliminates the use case of specifying at base null for bundles of information that need to be digitally signed. Okay.
I don't think it does because so if we make it so that there is a way for you to understand whether the API base option has actually been set to null, so maybe API base option is at null instead of the null value, then it allows that use case to exist. Does that make sense? So if you say at base null, then you're going to fall back to 2. And if 2 is, if the processor knows that the API base option was actually set, and it was set to the null value, then it knows that it just doesn't, it can stop there. It's the relative, all IRIs are kept relative, and that's it.
Well, there's a problem with that, which is it doesn't support the other case where you need to have a document URL for the thing you're retrieving. So there's a document out there that you want to retrieve, and you want to use the document URL. You don't want to specify a base option because you don't know at the time that you're retrieving the document how it's supposed to be interpreted. That's the whole point, because this is about a publisher deciding how to interpret it, either as a bundle of things or with a bunch of absolute IRIs. So you can't set a base API option for this use case.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So you retrieve the document from some URL, and the person, the use case is, this is the person who's selling a bundle of information that's going to be digitally, that's going to represent a graph that's digitally signed, that people can use different serializations to fetch that graph and verify that signature. And now if they want to sell a bundle of information so that they want all of the IRIs in their document to be understood to be relative, so that anyone comparing the graphs will see the same bundle of information because it doesn't need a base IRI, which will only be applied once the bundle's been purchased and put somewhere. How is that use case covered?
Well, the only way that it could be covered is if we interpret at base null differently, right? Or we have another keyword. Like at null.
Yeah, there needs to be a way to say, interpret this, leave the URLs in this document alone. Or I would prefer you to leave them alone. There needs to be a way to indicate that to someone who has no idea, who doesn't know ahead of time, to specify in their API options to set the base to null.
Do we have an at null? We have it in framing. Do we really need to support this use case? I know we want to be able to do it, but is there a way for us to do it outside of JSON-LD in some way? Would it actually impact the baseform specs if this wasn't supported in JSON-LD?
It would make it difficult to sell bundles of information easily.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not. Now, couldn't we just invent a new URI scheme for that, like a widget? widget://
There might be something somewhat hackish that we could do to maybe make this work. You could also indicate that if you want to sell a bundle, at base should always be set to like something silly.
Data or bundle or widget or something like that.
Right.
I think that's probably the better thing to do, because we're well,
the other problem with that is it might cause problems with URLs that begin with dot dot slash and things like that. If you have a bunch of URLs that begin with dot dot slash, I believe our compaction, one of our algorithms is going to like eliminate all of those and make it blow up.
Wait, because base is not?
If the base was set to example.com or widget colon something, and you had a bunch of, and your URL started out with dot dot, had like three or four different dot dot slashes at the beginning of your relative URL, those would all be normalized to nothing. They'd be wiped out.
Isn't that wrong? Isn't that the wrong way to process URLs?
If you set an absolute URL. If you have a relative URL that's dot dot slash something, and you give it and you resolve it against a certain base, that's example.com, that dot dot slash is just going to go away.
Todd, you weren't supposed to touch it if you didn't have a hierarchical URL scheme.
Well, I believe we assume that you always do. That we don't. There is no mapping that we have that says this scheme means it's hierarchical. Because we do the URL processing that we do in compaction and expansion, it will mess up this data.
Okay, so going back, the solution for this is to interpret at base null in a very special way, to say that it is actually the base URL does not exist and it's not a fallback scheme. And then if you wanted to do a fallback scheme, you use the empty string.
Either that, or we say there is no fallback scheme.
I think it's reasonable to not have a fallback, because you can always compose a document that doesn't require it.
I don't quite understand that. What if I was an author that wanted to basically say, I want you to use whatever the base URL for this document is.
Mono, you can't be heard.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. If I say I want to use, I'm an author, okay, and I've got a fairly large JSON-LD document, and I set base up at the top to example.com, and then way down deep in the JSON-LD, I set base again, but this time I set it to something completely different than example.com, and then within that data, I want to reset it back to. Actually, no, there's no way to do that, is there? I'm trying to figure out if we're preventing authors from resetting their base to the current document's URL. And if we don't have a fallback scheme, I'm guessing, I don't know if by that Greg means that we don't allow the author to reset it to whatever the document URL is.
We would not have a way to do that.
But you could always set it to, if you knew the document URL, you could always set base to that, but seems strange. Because in RDFA, we have about equals double quote, which basically says current document, right? Use whatever's in base.
And that wouldn't change here. This is about how do you get back to the original setting for base, and is there a use case where we need to do that?
Well, you can't do it in RDFA, and the way you get around that is by not having setting base in HTML or in body. You do it at a lower level, and then if you need to assert things, you just do it at a scope outside of which you haven't defined base.
Okay, so it sounds that then Dave Longley and Greg agree on one approach we could take. And it sounds like that approach is if you do at base colon null, then it specifically means there is no base. Base is null. Right? It doesn't mean fallback, it means base is null.
Right.
If you do at base colon double quotes, you fall back to whatever the previous base was.
It's treated like any other relative IRI.
Yeah, right. It's a relative IRI and it resolves against, what if the previous base was null?
It's still null.
Okay. I mean, that seems reasonable to me. Marcus, Nicholas, Paul, any input on that approach?
Yeah, I'm trying to parse. Looks like Marcus put something up on that pirate pad.
Sure.
Link.
Yeah, we've been doodling in that.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't really following you and Dave. Can you perhaps paste an example in that pirate pad?
Let's see. I'm trying to read over your example to see if we can reuse it. I'm going to go down to the bottom because I think it might be easier to just express this as document URL. So I'm all the way at the bottom. Document URL is example.org. The API base is set to not set. Hello, disconnected. Sorry, I just got disconnected.
Nice.
And I can't reconnect. I'm going to type it out in our... Oh, no, there we go. technology.
It happens to me with IRC all the time because I have to use the Freenode web chat, web IRC because of our firewall.
That's interesting. I didn't think that would be an issue. Okay, so the document URL set, the API option is not set. And then if you do... base null. This means that there is no base. URL to resolve is.
I think that the API option. I mean, that's a separate problem in itself, which shouldn't affect the other aspects. I think that the document URL, the base,
well,
I mean, it's either the option if given other, otherwise the given URL. They, from a resolution perspective, have no impact on the other.
There are some approaches that we were discussing where the API option does come into play, specifically for fallback. So I'm just putting it in there for...
Oh, right, that one. Ooh, I don't like that. That's why I'm not acknowledging its existence, probably.
Okay, that's fine, because I think that's fallback. Well, so if we did... Oh, everyone's typing over one another.
I'm just going to remove the topic. This example is example 4.
Yeah.
So I'll remove that one.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so at base, null quote means fallback to whatever. Well, this means it's a relative. Okay, regular relative IRI. Yes, that's right. And so that would fall back to go. Okay. Give me a slash in there. Okay. Okay, so does that make sense to folks?
I'm going to let you two fight it out before I make this, before I make any comments. As far as like what's being typed.
What does it mean, fallback to original option? What's the original option here? The API option?
Yeah, that's not what original option means.
It should say API option. Original API option.
Okay, there we go. Now I see it. I think the Etherpad is having some serious issues. Okay, so the original API option was not set, so it falls back to the document URL. Okay, so now let's do another example. I'm copying and pasting this below where the API option is set. So if okay, so base null would mean there's no base. Base double quote would mean that it would fall back to resolve against this, so the URL is messed up for me.
There it is.
Fix it. I think that's right. Okay. Okay. So does that make sense? What are the names there for, Marcus?
Which names?
Probably for comments.
I don't know. I just see all of our names below the...
So that you can type, you know, your opinion about that. So that's in place.
I think they all go together. All three of those things go together. There's no... I guess what I'm trying to say is that this is all one proposal. So everything here that we've been typing out is one proposal. There's no, it's all kind of part of one proposal. So let's say this entire thing we've been typing out thus far has been proposal four. It's not?
No. We should move. I keep getting disconnected.
Like null and empty string is definitely two different things, for example.
Well, I didn't understand what Dave Longley was typing out then. I thought he meant when we're resolving a different, whenever someone puts that in. Okay. that base widget test thing? What's that?
That's just demonstrating that if you had set a base to using like widget or something like that. I don't know. Someone deleted the foo there. That's what the resolved URL would look like, and it just demonstrates that we lost the relative information.
How relevant is that relative information to the actual meaning, or what would, how would it be used there?
So the use case here is someone publishes a document at some URL that uses relative URLs, and the purpose of that document is to mark up a bundle of information for sale that is intended to be used maybe with a certain application as like a bunch of plugins or something like that. And we want to set it up so that multiple serializations can be used at that URL for marking up that data. But anyone who goes and fetches the actual graph of information can confirm that the graph of information is the same. So you can always confirm that a bundle is the bundle that you think it is. So when you go and you view it somewhere, you see how it looks, you agree that that's the bundle you want to purchase, and then if you go and look at it somewhere else, it's still the same bundle.
Right.
And you're only going to apply an absolute IRI to that when you actually go use the bundle after you bought it. But prior to that, you want to preserve all the relative IRIs in the bundle because that's the actual those relative IRIs have an important meaning in the bundle itself. And you don't want to lose that data.
So what are the drawbacks to it? I mean, I'm just trying to understand all sides. I know y'all have a major use case for that. I'm just trying to see, is that a use case for your product, or is that a use case that really does need to be in the entire spec?
Well, what we were discussing while you guys were typing on this pad over here was whether we talked about whether or not there's a use case, which we do have, for having at base colon null mean no base, versus if there's a use case for at base colon null meaning revert back to the original setting, which is either the document URL or the API option if you overrode the document URL. And if there is a use case for that, which we didn't necessarily have one, we talked about how there's another way for authors to accomplish the same thing without having to use at base colon null. So that we were talking about how we could cover both use cases, even though we didn't necessarily have the other use case, if we went with at base colon null.
Yeah, so I guess to summarize, Paul, in one approach where we don't support at base colon null having some kind of special meaning, there's only one use case that we can support. But if we say at base colon null has a special meaning, there are two use cases that we can support. And one of those use cases that we support is the ability to digitally sign documents that have relative IRIs only.
Okay.
If we don't do that, then we cannot support that use case.
You can support
okay.
it. You just have to. The user just has to set the API thing to null.
But it's not the user that's in control of that. It's the publisher. We would have to tell everyone consuming our data out of band, hey, by the way, you need to set the API option to null when you consume this JSON-LD. There's no way for a publisher to do that.
You have to do everyone who is creating a signature to do so. And you could specify that in the algorithm to create the signature.
Yeah. It's not.
You're suggesting we create a special property to put into the signature that you read the data once, find out from the signature that you were supposed to interpret base in a different way, and then process it that way.
That seems kind of hacky.
Can you say that again?
So what you suggested was when generating a signature, you would include a special property that would indicate to a processor that generates the signature or that tries to verify the signature that you should interpret base in a different way for that document.
No, I wasn't saying that. I was saying that if you're generating a signature, your algorithm is specified that the API option base is always set to null. So relative URLs in your document don't get expanded to absolute URLs unless there is a base specified in the document.
Give me a minute. This is... Hold on just a second.
Sure.
So when you have, I'm sorry, I had my lead was came back. So when we have multiple external contexts, how does that interact with proposal one that Dave and Greg? I'm assuming DG1 means Dave Greg
yeah.
one.
Yeah, so I don't, external context don't play into this at all because we made the decision that setting app base in an external context doesn't have any effect on the current document. So,
okay. Did we?
I thought so.
Yeah, we did. I believe we did.
Yeah, we resolved that, I think.
Yeah, resolved. App base is always resolved against the current document's URL.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's not in use in the document who references the external context.
It's not used in the documents that reference the external context. I thought that's exactly what the resolution we were making was. It's local only.
I remember that. I don't have it up anymore because my IRC crashed, but I do think it was... I do think I remember that.
Yeah, it was local. It was local only. I mean, we had a whole discussion on base being intransitive and the meaning is not inherited. And
yeah,
drawback is that you can never define base in an external context. So I think that resolution is pretty clear. All right. So it doesn't apply. The external context doesn't apply. Or based in an external context, doesn't apply in this case. So the only thing that we're discussing is whether or not you can do at base colon null, and that means something special, or at base null basically is like doing at base colon double quote. So I guess the key thing that we're trying to figure out is whether there is any difference between at base null and at base double quote. So one of the proposals is saying there's no difference between those two effectively, and the other proposal is saying at null means something special. And the proposal that says at base null means something special is the proposal, the DG1 proposal. And if we don't do that proposal, then we cannot support the use case where we have relative IRIs, purely relative IRIs.
Yes, it has to be solved out of scope in some proprietary way.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
So base null basically means from that point onwards, all relative IRIs are not expanded anymore, right?
That's right.
Yep.
And if you want to change that, you have to set at base to an absolute IRI.
That's right.
But you can't, there is no way to set it back to the documents, for example.
That's right.
I thought you could set it back to the document IRI by doing double quote. You mean if there's something nested?
No, just like I set at base to null, and then afterwards there is no way to set it back.
Where? Hold on. Where do you set it to null? In the API?
Well, in my context option. Somewhere. No, in my context. Well, I put up an example at the very bottom.
Okay, so I think that's what I meant by you have a nested, something else that's nested there. You're saying at the top of your document you do at base null, and then somewhere else in your document you want to reset it to the document IRI?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the use case for that?
I'm just trying to understand what we are talking about.
Right.
Yeah, if you wanted to do something like that, you would nest your document differently.
Yep. You'd use that graph at the top, or
which is why we were saying we don't eliminate that use case. You just restructure your document for the rare case that you want to have relative things in your document and absolute things in your document. I think that's rare enough that I don't think it's that big of a deal to say nest your data differently or use that graph.
Okay, and if I have a remote context, or if I process a remote context, then at base is ignored completely, right? So it's not even used to dereference, for example, other remote contexts.
I didn't follow the question, Marcus. Could you ask it again, please?
Okay, so at the very bottom, assuming that's a remote context already, and I have something like example there. Okay, so what remote context would be included in there?
Hold on. I still don't understand the question. Are you saying what URL are you trying to expand, or what URL are you trying to...
I have a document which references example.com/context as a remote context. And the thing below that is the content of that. So it also includes another remote context. How do I expand that URL? So what do I expand remote context.json.ld?
My interpretation is that I think base is semantic. So it can't really be used to affect how documents are loaded. So if you have a remote context, you can't use the defined base in order to resolve it. In fact, I don't think you can use the API base. You can only do it against the actual document location.
Mm-hmm. So we have
At base doesn't apply to the context, or is that, am I remembering?
At base is ignored within a remote context. But
well, I'm in the context itself. Like, let's say we had a term foo.
That's invalid. We don't allow relative URLs in term definition.
Okay, and I thought that one of the reasons we did that is because we didn't want base to apply to anything there. So we don't have any case where base applies to a URL in the context right now, do we?
Monica, can you put that data back? I think you were miscommunicating with Marcus. Manu, I don't think you're talking about the term here. You were talking about foo. That's what you were interested in?
Yeah.
Wait here. Let's do this. That's what you're... You were asking what would happen to foo.
Yeah. But
and,
no, we are still in the context in
wait,
there.
Yeah.
So
you're right. You're right. That's not even data. Okay.
Well, I think type within a term definition can be document relative.
Yeah, that's true. It falls back to base.
Okay, so we do have cases here where the base applies.
No, is that true?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure whenever we define any IDs in the context, they're not relative to the base. In fact, that was a change that was made just recently.
Yeah, it says false for document relative.
Yes, it's always false.
Okay, so then that's true. There's nothing, the base does not apply to anything in the context.
Yeah, I don't see how it could.
Right.
The
okay.
only place where we allow relative URLs in the context is to reference a remote context. So we don't allow relative URLs anywhere else. Also, vocab doesn't apply anywhere because we don't allow... No, that's not true. Sorry, that's not true.
So Marcus, was your question, would at base apply to remote context.json? LB?
Yes. Because that's a relative URL.
Yeah, and
I think it should.
No, it shouldn't. At base should not be used. Neither should the API base be used for resolving remote documents, for loading remote documents.
Yeah, that's also a little bit weird. I mean, if you're going to load base from a remote context, it wouldn't apply. And if you're going to put it in the document, you wouldn't do that. You would just put example dir before remote context. Does that make sense? No one would create the document that is listed here as an example. You would just cut and paste example dir before remote context. Because if you included that remote context, if that first context in the index was a remote context, it would have no effect.
We're all going to start being kicked off of the call because we're at the two-hour mark. Just make sure to dial back in. So, Marcus, does that answer your question, or...?
Well, yeah, it's one point of view, and it certainly makes sense. I could live with that, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I guess we're waiting for feedback from Greg and Marcus on whether or not we want to support at base null or not.
But then I have a second question.
Hmm.
So what is base after this stuff here now?
In the context, the base would be just slash.
In the document, then?
Yeah. Yes, in that document. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it would be example dir relative.
The problem with what we are discussing right now is that I have is that we kind of need to keep track of several base URLs all the time.
Well, what, you mean the three bases that we specified? I mean, the reason we need to track all three of them is because they are. One of them is the document URL, the other one's an API option, and the other one is set from within the document. Right. The only way we don't track as many of them is if we get rid of one of the options of setting base.
And what do you mean by track? We don't actually have to track them. The options overrides the document URL, so if you have the options, that's the only base you need. And then we don't have any way of resetting back to base, so all you need is one base, and whenever it gets changed.
So
hold
you
on
have
a second, I'll be back in a minute.
No idea.
So is Marcus back yet?
No, he got kicked. He'll
not quite.
Be back in a second.
So how common would you see a use case of the I don't know what color it is in y'all's like 138 use case? Do we have several app bases like that?
I don't think very many people would do that. It's a pretty contrived example, I think. But it's good to look at contrived examples like that and see if the rules actually work.
Yeah, you want to take care of
there's no right. There's no place where you would actually do that when you're altering a document, because this sort of thing would only happen if you were using remote contexts. It's sort of like we're pretending that line 141 and 142 were from a remote context. If that were true, base would have no effect, and because you would never really write these in line like that. If you wrote them in line like that, you would just collapse it all, because there's no reason to do all that extra work.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is if you had something actually generating, doing a line.
Yeah, that's really the only way that would happen. And if it did, it would work out just as if you had, you know, written it yourself in a shorter version of it.
Mm-hmm. Which we actually are. Generating
test
all
cases
of our context.
Always get to these remote, you know, problems, and there's many cases where you can have a processor that fails 90% of the test cases, but is perfectly usable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is everybody back on?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Marcus is typing. Marcus and Dave are typing. We're looking at line 150, the algorithm, right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure that it doesn't have any impacts for us. And so we're doing a generation from OWL to generate the context at runtime.
If you don't use base, it shouldn't affect you. And if you do use base, unless you're using base null, then it shouldn't affect you.
No, we're not.
I mean, we are very much talking about corner cases at this point, but you know, I suspect we need to work through all the corner cases.
Don't want to have the picture of the blackboard and something, a miracle happens here. So far, is it looking like the DG1 proposal is kind of the one that we're looking towards?
It seems that way to me.
Yeah, the algorithm that we're writing out is the DG1 proposal algorithm.
Okay.
So I would expect the result to be subdir slash relative for that. Why would it be relative?
Because you don't touch relative URLs if you don't have a base.
Yeah, but you do have a base because you set at base.
You have a relative base, which is the same as no base, effectively.
I don't think we should... If we're going to support relative bases, I don't think we should consider them the same as no base.
Yeah, and this is a point that I tried to make earlier in the call, is that I don't think we can assume that base is resolved against... If base does not resolve to an absolute IRI, I don't think that we can throw it out.
Well, right now, we throw out everything that doesn't resolve to an absolute IRI. We've discussed possibly having use cases where we relax that would cause my implementation a little strain because I currently use that. I look to make sure that URIs are absolute, and otherwise they're dropped.
I don't know if the JSON, Dave Longley, does the JSON-LD processor check to see if an URL is well-formed?
Not, well, we don't drop them when they're in the ID position. We drop non-absolute IRIs for terms, but not for IDs.
Yeah, it might be that that's all I'm doing. I need to
closely. Marcus is saying add ID is relative. He's using add ID. He's not using a term.
What do we do if it doesn't expand to an...
Well, currently we do require that all URIs be absolute, resolved to absolute URIs. And that's to be a valid RDF graph, they need to be absolute IRIs.
I'm pretty sure we decided that we were just silent on that issue.
Yeah,
so that we could allow the output of serialization, so we could serialize things that didn't have that were relative IRIs.
Right.
And we just said if you want to actually use that document, you need to apply a base to it.
Yeah, because we had that big blow-up conversation in the RDF working group.
Right.
And I thought the decision after that was let's just stay silent on it instead of trying to force
one way or the other. And that allowed us to do transient messages and things that don't have basis.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess what that means is that you should be able to set at base to whatever you want to, and it's just a string concatenation. If it's null, if base was previously null, that just becomes your new base. It's just a relative IRI.
Well, that's a little odd too, because that implies
that. Be careful.
That
it's not a string concatenation.
Yes.
Be careful with that.
It's got to be a join.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the trailing slash, it is subdir slash relative. But if there was no trailing slash, it would just be dot slash relative.
I got you. Yep. Okay.
So we are resolving relative URLs against a relative URL.
That's right.
That defines nowhere. And, I mean,
I don't know what happens if I try to do that with my implementation.
I think it would be safe to throw an error if you have a relative base and you can't resolve that.
Well, currently my implementation actually does that.
Throw an error?
No, I mean it does allow you to join
to work.
A relative URI. It actually works the way I would expect.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of, so if you have something like this one here, but your URL looks like, we had those test cases before, and that's what triggered that null discussion, I think. So if you have something like that, this here, what does that end up being?
Relative. You would observe all those dot slashes.
But it's not according to the RFC, because I'm actually implement the RFC pretty carefully, and dot segments are removed when you do join.
Yeah, so you would end up with just relative in that case.
But that's not what anyone would expect, and that's not what a lot of libraries do.
Well, I think we have to look back to the relevant RFCs, and they define how you join URIs, and dot segment elimination is part of that. I don't think
that's
can.
That's true, but it also that RFC is assuming that there's an absolute base.
No, I think it actually works for relative URIs too.
If you were to look at applications that
you
work
can
with,
just resolve them if you have a base.
I think if you looked at applications that dealt with relative IRIs, that the join operation would not remove those dot segments if there's no absolute base. Because it's unexpected behavior to do anything different from that.
I think we should throw an error in that case. I mean, it's a corner case. And
well, certainly I would see that as being invalid.
I do think it might be a corner case. I'm trying to think of other people that wanted to bundle things up and try to do that.
So what we could do is throw an error now, and then if other people really want to do this, we could lift the error later.
Yeah, if you try to set a relative base and your existing base is null, we could throw an error. Yeah, that RFC requires that the base URI be absolute.
Well, it comes down to the definition of merge, right? Because if you look at transform references, you get into the ultimate else, where it's not absolute and it doesn't start with a slash. So it's merge base path with R path.
I mean, you can see how if you had one base that was many directories deep and you resolved both of these two against that same base, you would get a different result than if you change the base. And I don't think that that should happen. If base here is supposed to be relative to ID, then you shouldn't end up getting a different result for the directory if you change the base starting at subdir. It seems like the base and ID would not be relative to each other if you eliminated all those dot segments.
What do you mean?
Because then, based on the absolute IRI you chose to resolve them against, you would get very different behavior. You could get very different behavior. Just pretend that there's a base here that has like three or four different directories deep. Versus one that doesn't.
But it's still relative.
That's not the right thing to look at.
You know, the merge paths algorithm seems to actually describe this case. In the first case, if there's an authority, you do one thing. Otherwise, you return a string consisting of the reference paths component depended all but the last segment of the base URI's path, so excluding everything after the rightmost slash. So that implies that it is basically extract everything after the last slash and then append the value to that, which, except where I think otherwise we've already... When we hit this, we've eliminated dot path segments. Maybe we haven't. No, we haven't.
The problem is that
we removed dot segments after the merge. So that's the way that the RFC defines it.
Yeah, but the problem there is that you don't know the base path because you don't have the full path. So you can't do that algorithm.
No, you do, but you just base is a relative URI, and this transform references handles that case.
No, that's not. Because it could be a completely different path regarding, I mean, you would need to expand base first, and then that path would look completely different, probably.
Well,
I'd be doing resolution too soon. You can't resolve to an absolute IRI before you have one, so you need to just combine the paths. Otherwise, you are treating it as if you had a different base. I wrote in here on line 169 through 171, if you were resolving this and then you applied a base later, you would get a different result.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not right.
So we should throw an error, in my opinion. That's the simplest thing we can do, and I can't think of any use cases which are using a relative base when there is no real base.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are all just phony use cases. No one's going to actually want to do any of this stuff. We just need to be sure we're consistent. So throwing an error is just fine with me.
Yep, agreed. Okay, so we have a base resolution algorithm there. Does that look like what we want?
I think that's fine for now, and we can modify that error thing later if we discover that people do want us to resolve them. Maybe we can mark it with an issue so that we can specify the alternative.
because the alternative is also sort of obvious if it's what people want.
What's the alternative?
The alternative is to do some kind of joining where you don't remove dot segments.
Okay, so like we design our own resolution algorithm, basically.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's what people who write URL libraries already do. I mean, it's fairly common to try and combine two relative IRIs, and often you don't want to remove dot segments.
Why do you do that?
Well, I mean, the library I'm using removes the dot segments. And I think if you follow the transform references section from 3986, that's what it would do. Because R doesn't have an authority. Its path is not empty. It doesn't start with slash. Therefore, you do merge and remove dot segments.
Yeah, okay, so why don't we jump back to IRC, because I think the proposal is to accept the new base resolution algorithm, which supports setting base null, no base value. And then we can get that down on the record.
So are we going to type that algorithm out in IRC or copy and paste it?
Yeah, it's already there. It's already there.
It's already there.
Put it in there.
Oops. Ah, sorry.
The other question we didn't resolve yet, what do we do with the default value of JSON-LD options base? Do we still set it to the document URL automatically, or...
It's set to null. So the algorithm says that, oh, I see what you're saying. Well, we say if it's set, then override it with the base API option. I think it should be set to null. I think that's the right thing.
So basically, it's not set.
Right. Yeah, it's not set.
Yeah, I think. Can we do a proposal for that as well?
So proposal, the API option for base is not set by default. Is that right?
Do we need to say that that has the same meaning as null?
Well,
it has not the same meaning as null, because null would overwrite the document URL.
Does it mean that it's the same as the document URL? I believe if it's not set, it's as if it were set to the document location.
Well, I think it's okay to say that it's not set then, because that is saying the same thing as it's set to the document location.
Yeah. Okay.
And Paul, plus one, minus one.
I think Paul dropped off.
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I got a text from my wife. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Okay, are there any other outstanding issues around base?
I have one last question.
Uh-huh.
When we are compacting, what base are we going to use for compaction? The last base which was in scope after expanding, or?
I don't understand the question.
I think when you're compacting, you have an active context in scope, and that active context has a base.
Mm-hmm.
So you would use
not
the base
necessarily.
That's
So you expand your document so it has absolute URLs in there, and then you start from an entity context, process the context request, doesn't have an S base. So which base are you going to use?
I'm still a bit confused.
When you start the compaction algorithm, it should be as if the expansion never happened. You start with the document URL and then use the API options and then use whatever's in the context.
Yeah.
Right. So I would imagine that you use the exact same base resolution algorithm in that case.
Yeah, but... Really?
I think anything else would be a little bit strange. You know, you'd be... If you had just finished up expanding something and at the end of the document it had set base to something, it would be weird to start off your compaction using that base.
Yeah, that's certainly true, but I'm more thinking about JSON-LD options base in this case.
Why would it be treated differently from starting with... Why would it be different?
Well... For example, if I would just look at the API, I would say I pass JSON-LD options base, and that should be, and I pass the URL of a document that I want to recompact using a different context that should expand the URLs using the document's URL, but when compacting, it should use JSON-LD options base, which I passed in.
Well, I'm going to have to drop because I've got some other stuff going on here, so...
Sure. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Bye.
I couldn't completely follow that, Marcus, so...
Yeah, I'm typing it out.
Okay.
So, in this case, for example, I have a document, I expand it, and let's assume in that document in there I have somewhere at ID, me. Is there still one here? Somebody here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. Sorry. After 2.5 hours, though, it's difficult to stay focused.
Marcus, are you still typing, or did you ask? Okay.
So that's what it expands to, I think, because JSON-LD options base overrides the document's URL currently, as I found out today. And then when I compacted, I don't know, what base do I use in this case? Yeah, I use base, but what if I don't specify a base?
I think if you don't specify a base, it's an absolute IRI.
So to compact it, I would have to set it to the same URL as the document, right?
I think when I compact, I don't, and this is true for other RDF serializations as well, unless I've specified a base through, well, in the case of Turtle, my Turtle serializer, if I serialize, I use absolute IRIs. If I set a base in the API, then that results in a base being output, and then all of the URIs being made relative to that. In the case of JSON LD, I think it might do the same thing, except we could also have a base specified in a context which was used for compaction. So I think that you would compact either using the base as specified in the context or as provided in the API, and otherwise you would not create relative IRIs.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me a bit with the API is that if I set the base, it also overrides the document's URL. So internally it expands, but I don't necessarily know that. So it overrides that internal URL while expanding and then uses it again. So the result ends up being different.
So I guess in the case that you're worried about that, you would call expand independently and then call compact?
Yeah. Do people understand that?
I think I understand now your point, which is that you would effectively, you're saying you'd sort of like to have an option for expanding during compaction, the base to use during expansion during compaction, and then the option for base for the actual compaction algorithm.
I guess the question is, how common is that case going to be?
How often do you want to switch the base? And if you want to switch the base, why wouldn't you just call expand and then call whatever method you want after that? I think that's the easy way to solve that problem. When you want to change document bases, call expand independently of the next call you want to make.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because now that expand is specifically removing document from the context of its location, from the small c context.
Yeah, the act of compaction does not change your base between expansion and compaction. It applies base entirely over the whole operation.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
so that was the last question on base. Do we have any other outstanding issues for base? This has turned into quite the marathon.
Really?
Marathon.
Yes, but at least we think it might be over.
Yeah.
It's going to be over one way or another if we take it the last call.
I should have my unless we keep changing it, I should have my implementation finished this week. I'm just working on compaction and framing now.
Awesome.
You don't need framing to pass it.
No, I don't, but I need to have framing because I use it.
Okay,
I'm looking back at the agenda just so... Since we're here, let's quickly go through the plan for the RDF working group call tomorrow. So we have implementation reports. Dave Longley, would you mind starting the scribe again, just so we can get this down?
Sure. Yep.
Thanks. Greg, you said that your implementation is going to be done within a week, so that's good. We have a bunch of implementation reports that have come in.
Well, we have those by Dave and Marcus.
Right.
I don't think there's any more than that.
No, I don't think so. But that's too interoperable, and I think that people are going to complain since both Dave and Marcus did heavy spec editing on the algorithm. So.
Yeah. No, mine at this point is pretty virgin.
Okay.
Because the algorithms changed so much since I had originally been involved with that. So, and I have found some small little things along the way. So I think that's serving the purpose.
Okay, that's good. I don't necessarily agree with the whole, you know, it doesn't count line of argumentation, but we're going to get it if we don't have at least yours in there, Greg. Okay, so we have minimum necessary to go through CR, so that's great. And then once Greg's is in there, we'll spin the test suite again, give it a permanent URL, and that will be CR. So I think we're in good shape for that. The question is, how do we want to? Sorry, Marcus, I'm getting a lot of echo from you.
I'm muting myself. So.
Okay, thanks. The question is, how are we going to take this forward in the RDF working group? What's the proposal we're putting forward? So I put forward a proposal yesterday that basically says that we could go to Canada Direct with the syntax spec. We could take the API spec into a last call too. Sorry. Let me put the topic down here. So I put the proposal in here. So the idea is take syntax to candidate rec, 3 weeks of candidate rec on May 14th. It'll come out of candidate, we'll go into CR on May 14th. We will come out of CR on June 4th. JSON-LD 1.0, the API, will go into second last call for the same time period, and it will come out of second last call on June 4th. And then the suggestion is to just take both specs into PR at that point, into proposed rec status. I had proposed this last week, but I think it was just really confusing the way I presented it. Have you guys been able to read the most recent proposal? Do you think that that's a good way?
Basically, you're suggesting that we can avoid the CR phase for JSON-LD.
For the API. So the idea here is
to the API, yes.
We will have a quote-unquote CR phase where we say, hey, everyone, implement the spec, and we can point them at the LC2 spec, and we'll get, we already passed the CR requirement, so it's kind of we're doing it to make sure that we're following the W3C process, but the W3C process is kind of fuzzy in this area on when you can go past CR and when you can't. I think we meet all the requirements that most groups put down there for CR. And we by taking JSON-LD syntax to CR, we're saying, look, we are going through a candidate recommendation phase here. It's just we can't do the API just yet because it has to go through a second last call, but it's stable and people should start implementing it.
I do have a question, which is you say in here that we don't have another implementation of the browser-based API. Who's going to do it?
Yep.
Someone's got to do it.
Yep.
And it probably shouldn't be me.
Yep. Yeah, so we need a volunteer. I reluctantly, I'll do it if nobody else does, but I'm really slammed right now, as I'm sure everybody else is. Marcus, I don't know if you'd have any time since you're kind of you have messed with the ideal test harness and know what it's capable of. To be specific, the only thing that needs to be implemented is the API, not any of the underlying functionality, so just the calls. You don't have to actually implement any actual functionality. If that makes sense.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't need that.
Then there exists a tool to auto-generate that.
Okay, well, that's good.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
So if we can do that, then we are set.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure if that's enough. But I'm traveling from Friday onwards, so I won't be... Probably I won't even be able to join the next two telecons. So we'll be giving a couple of talks about JSON-LD, by the way.
Oh, good. Which,
where are you traveling to?
First Rio, the dub, and then I'm going to Portland to the Symphony Live.
Cool. Very cool. Unfortunately, nowhere near any of us.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that far from me, but it's far enough.
Well, good. I hope that stuff goes well. So Marcus is out. We might ask Dave Lane. He's giving me a mean look from across the room.
Yeah, sorry.
We could always ask Vikash.
That's true. We could.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't come online until late June. Or mid-June, I guess. Truly online. It should only take a couple of hours for somebody to do it. So either I'll do it or Dave Lane's going to do it.
Do we need to specify some CR exit criteria in the specification itself, or?
No, not in the spec itself. At least it's normally not, I haven't seen it done in the spec. Usually, you specify the exit criteria in the email that you send to the director. So the exit criteria is going to be two interoperable implementations, which is standard, and we already passed that.
Okay. So basically, regarding the specs, the only thing we need to update is what we decided today.
Yeah. Okay. So I just read the feedback from Yvonne, and he said that he'd rather that both specs go through a second last call.
That both specs go through a second last call?
Yeah.
Even though there's no change at all to...
Did he send a second?
Except I guess we can remove some issues, markers, but maybe...
He said, I don't see a reason for syntax to go through a second last call.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, at least, I mean, if we are not reading different emails.
I don't know, we might be. I'm reading this one.
Yeah, in there he writes, I do not see a reason for syntax to go through a second last call, in parentheses.
I do not see this a reason for syntax to go through a second LC. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Then either to CR
so
or PR, whatever we say.
He's just basically saying keep it, don't publish it again, just publish the JSON-LD API for a second LC. And then we don't move syntax forward. We just keep it there until
he's saying progress them together after together to CR. So he's saying,
yeah,
but we don't have to do anything with syntax.
3 weeks.
Or PR. Well, no, or PR, whatever we decide.
To CR, or PR. Okay.
So we can propose going straight to PR.
Okay.
So, do we take any issue markers out of the spec now, or?
Yeah, let's go ahead and just rip all the issue markers out.
Also, we'll the
make sure that we've resolved them all.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We have to make sure that they're resolved. But
yeah, reverse properties, for example, that's a feature at risk.
I would suggest that rather than removing the issue markers as we update them to indicate that they've been resolved so that they disappear, and I think that there's actually even a way to get it so that that remains in there with a resolution so that the RDFA that's generated can reference that resolution.
Okay.
Yeah. So, who is going to update the specs? I think we need them to be ready, I don't know, end of the week, or?
Yeah, we do. I'll do the syntax spec. Marcus, are you going to have time for the API spec?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, all right. So we'll
leave
the syntax spec, though, is not...
SDR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, leave the issue markers as they are, but resolve them so that they disappear from the text. There's a way that there's. Greg, do you know exactly what markup is?
I need to look at it. I've forgotten.
Yeah.
It's in respec. I'm pretty sure if there's a class that's added.
Yeah, like issue resolved or something like that. Or issue. Does that make sense, Marcus? It's basically the issue stays there, but it's hidden via the CSS or the processing, the respec processing.
Yeah, if Greg could look that up, that would help, because I don't know where to look.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it right now, but it might just be it's a CSS class. I'll send something out about that.
Okay, so what we're doing at the RDF Working Group call tomorrow is we're proposing that we do a second last call for the JSON-LD API, that we're not going to do another publication of the syntax. We're just going to wait the length of the second last call for JSON-LD API should be 3 weeks. We'll publish on May 14th. It'll come out June 4th. And then we're going to suggest that we go straight to PR with both specs. Is that the plan?
Yeah, we could also try to go to CR. I mean, I would definitely prefer that to show some progress to people.
Going to PR would show progress.
Well, also CR. It's just, you know, people that are not so much involved in standardization, they care about that stuff. And
yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's up to you guys. I'm fine with going through another. I'm fine with going through CR. It just delays the time at which, you know, we can say that it's done and we can ship it.
No, I mean putting syntax into CR, so basically just republishing it as CR.
Yvonne said that he doesn't.
Yeah, just leave it as LC. They can go together at the same time.
Yeah. Yvonne wants to see them go together at the same time. I guess we can get input from the other RDF working group members. They might override Yvonne tomorrow.
Yeah, we can discuss that tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else?
Was a long call.
It certainly was. 3 hours.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you, Marcus, and Greg tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.